Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. This message might be a little slap on your wrist from the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit slaps you on the wrist, just receive it. Right? Don't be discouraged if you're not doing things that you should be doing. But look at it more as a challenge to rise up to the occasion, and not for me to make you feel bad on a Sunday morning, because that's definitely not what I'm ever trying to do. But the title of today's message is distractions. A lot of things distract us from fulfilling God's high calling in our life. A lot of things distract us from realizing that every day we are a vessel of God that he wants to use. Matthew chapter 25, every day we're distracted by a lot of things. And those little distractions get us off course. Those little distractions, for example, make us forget about the love of God, for an example. Or those little distractions keep that anger brooding inside of us, and it keeps us weak and it keeps us frail. And God always wants us to be strong. Amen. It's these little distractions. Actually, the Bible calls the little foxes spoil the vine. And it simply means what? These little things in our life sometimes are crippling us from growing up in Christ and being the man or woman of God that he truly wants us to be. The two points I want to make before I read in Matthew are these simple points. It's really only what you do for Jesus really matters in eternity. Amen. Only what you and I do for Jesus really, really, really matters in the future when we see him face to face. We want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Probably, most likely, definitely, you're going to be doing something for God. And the second thing is, the only thing you're taking to heaven with you are your family and your friends. Those are the two points I want to make today. And again, I'll say them again. Only what you do for Jesus really matters in eternity, like reaching out to people or being a blessing to somebody. And the only thing you're taking to heaven with you are people. Here in Matthew 25, one of the parables Jesus taught is about one man received five talents, which talents are large sums of money, millions of dollars today. One received five, one received two, one received one. The man who received five worked cleverly, wise choices, decisions, businessman. The one who had five made five more. The one who had two made two more. The one that had one buried it in the ground. And there's a reason why he buried his talent in the ground. Pastor, I know you a long time. I know exactly what you're going to say, that I'm burying my talent and God's going to be mad at me. Listen. That might be true. But listen, the point I'm trying to make is we all need to do something with what God has given us for the kingdom of God. Amen. I mean, really, we have to. You have to. You and I, we have to. We need help. He'll help us. You need strength. He'll strengthen us. But listen, he's going to get you through this real rough time you're going through. But you have to remember that God has called you with a high calling. When the king asked the man who buried the talent in the ground, which I don't know anybody, if they receive a couple $1 million, would dig a hole in their backyard. But that's what this guy did. It's ridiculous. Anyway, verse 24. Then he that received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where you have not strawn. I was afraid." Why did he hide his talent? Because he was afraid. Sometimes fear holds us back from doing God's work. Many times it does. Verse 25, "I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, here this is yours." So read verse 25 again. And he was afraid, and he went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And verse 26, the Lord said to him, or the king said to him, the Lord answered and said, "Thou wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reap where I didn't sow, and you knew I gather where I have not strawn. You should have given money and put it in the bank," verse 27 is saying. "At least I would have gotten usury or interest." He called the man what? He called him wicked in verse 26, wicked and lazy. All right, he said he was afraid, but the king saw it in a different way. He said he was wicked and lazy. Some of us are afraid to reach out to people that are so in need of knowing Jesus Christ. We got to overcome that fear, everybody. Why? Because this is why we're here. God put us here strategically to touch people's lives in our circle of friends, in where we work, where our neighbors are. And it's a terrible thing to think, well, everybody knows Jesus, because the truth is, people don't know Jesus. It's a terrible thing. They think, oh, everybody's got the Word of God. Everybody's got a Bible in their house. They might have a Bible in their house, but they don't read it. The only Bible they're going to read is us as we share God's love with them. Amen? So this is the hand-slapping part where God's going to slap me on the wrist for not doing a good job. Perhaps, but I would rather you see it this way, that he's encouraging you to go out because the harvest is ripe now. Not just the harvest in the, you know, the field, but the harvest around us is ready for people to share, to be told about Jesus and how much he truly loves them. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, again, we're so thankful, Lord, that we're always on your mind. We're so thankful, Lord, that it's true. You've given us a testimony. You've given us miraculous events in our life that we need to share with other people. And Lord, it's true. You've given us a high calling to reach people. You've given us a ministry of reconciliation. Lord, help us to not be like this unfaithful servant, to be lazy or afraid or wicked, but instead help us to have a Holy Spirit boldness to share your love with people that are so hurting and so desperate to know. Lord, give us wisdom, give us strength, give us insight, and again, give us a Holy Spirit boldness to share your truth that's going to set people free. Lord, anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and give us, Lord, the courage to share your great love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes fear does hold us back, right? Come on. I mean, be honest, it does. To me, I'll tell you, I'm not 100% doing what I should do. I don't feel bad if you're not doing what you should do. Are you in sin, Pastor? No. No, but I'm telling you, sometimes there's opportunities where I should share and I don't. But I try, and I will try my best to continue to reach out. But there are people in our immediate family that have no idea of how much God really cares about them. They have no idea of why Jesus came. They have no idea of the sacrifice that he made and what his blood can do. But we have an idea. You know what? We are his sheep, right? Look at verse 31. We're his sheep. Matthew chapter 25. We're in chapter 25, verse 31. Verse 31, don't let fear hold you back. Sometimes we just don't care. Pastor, you never met my neighbors. I don't want to be bringing them to heaven with me. Well, you should. It's really not up to you to choose. Your message, I mean, your calling and my calling is just to share the message with people. Like, what am I going to say? Jesus loves them? Yeah, that's what you're going to say. You know what? Your life could be so much better if you would follow Jesus. That's all you have to say. Or if they ask you why you're so blessed, you can say, oh, because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he made my life brand new, and I'm walking with him, and he's taking care of me. You need to do the same thing. Something like that. Amen? You don't have to get weird. One thing about Jesus, he was never weird. He was never weird. I always hear people sometimes, not always, you hear people say, you know, like they all get all theatrical or King James-ish and start talking King James. And, you know, you don't have to do that. Just talk to people because they admire you anyway. Verse 31, everybody, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Jesus is teaching here. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep, that's us, on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then shall the king say unto them at his right hand, what's he going to say to us? Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? Verse 38, when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king shall answer and say, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Because we do the right thing, because we're showing God's love, compassion, reaching out to people, blessing people. What? It just shows everybody that Christ is in us and we're the righteous people. Amen. We're the sheep. We're not the goats. Amen. We're not the goats. We're the sheep. Pastor, I think I'm a goat. Well, today you can become a sheep. All right? Praise God. Why? Because the sheep are the righteous people. When you read verse 41, then he'll say to them on his left hand, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For when I was hungry, you gave me no meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. When I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick or in prison, you visited not me. Then they'll say unto him, the same thing the first group said, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't minister to you? And then he shall answer them, verse 45, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. Somebody was trying to make me listen to a preacher on the computer, and this person's denomination believes that everybody's a sinner and that they're not righteous. So I told this young man, I said, why would I listen to this guy? He's a sinner. You people all believe you're sinners. Why would I listen to a sinner preach to me for 45 minutes? I wouldn't. Who are we? Because of Jesus, who are we? We're righteous people. Amen. Everybody, we're righteous. We're a work of God in progress. We're not perfect, but we're righteous. Amen? And what do the righteous people do? They do righteous things. They do godly things. They go the extra mile. They reach out. They bless people. Amen? Amen? If people ask me money, Pastor, I should give them money. Sometimes you need to give them food and not money. Right, everybody? We know that. They tell you they're hungry. You feed them. Don't forget, we have the food pantry. Everything we have is free. Just take it, bring it to them, or keep it for yourself, whatever. But we're here to be a blessing to people. Amen. Amen. But again, we have a ministry of reconciliation, and we always think, well, somebody else will do it. And what happens? It never gets done. Amen. But God is calling us to reach out to people. Oh, you're just trying to build the church up. You're just trying to get us to reach out, to evangelize, to build the church. Well, we're all supposed to be building the church. Amen. Really, we are. I invite people all the time. I hope you do the same thing. And if you're excited about church, they'll come. If you invite them to church, we're like, you want to come to church? They're not all excited about you because you're not all excited about inviting them. Amen. But if you invite them, they'll come. Amen. Maybe you don't want to go evangelize. Maybe you'll never want to go street evangelizing. But you know what? You still can invite people and let the Holy Spirit touch them. Amen. We'll work together like a team. You bring them. I'll stand up here and yell at them for 45 minutes. And then the Holy Spirit will do what he does so good. Amen. But we're in partnership together. But a lot of people, they just think, well, whatever, I don't care. Somebody's in need, I don't really care. I could do something, but I don't. They're goats. We're the sheep. They're goats. We're sheep. We don't mind helping people, and we don't mind being a blessing to people because it's inside of us, and we definitely don't mind forgiving people because we've been forgiven so much. Amen. Amen. Tell the person next to you, you look good today. Thanks for coming to church. Tell somebody, you're looking good. What are you trying to cheer us up now? Hurt my feelings for the last 30 minutes. Now you want me to smile at the person next to me? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at Luke 14. Come on. I mean, some people never tell people about Jesus. Never. Well, they all know. They don't know. They don't. They really don't know. They don't know what you know. They don't know who you know. Luke 14. They don't know. It's just not my ministry. It is. It is really everybody's ministry. What? Reconciliation is restoring people back to God or introducing them to Jesus. Luke 14. We all have our reasons, right, why we can't do it, but we should do it. You know, it's sad. The cults are out there every day knocking on doors, passing out their literature, and it's an anti-Christ religion. It really is. What they preach is an anti-Christ. They'll say Jesus is Lord, but they don't believe he's God, and you and I know God was on the cross paying for our sins. To minimize him is what? Is a denomination or group of people that are never going to see him. Amen. And it's funny because they have a religion that they don't believe in hell, but that's exactly where they're all going. Why? Because they are anti-Christ. They have an anti-Christ message. And here we are. We got the word of truth. And what do? We just hide it. We don't share it. We need to let that light shine. And letting the light shine is sometimes doing something good for somebody. Amen. Amen. We're just inviting people to the dinner. Amen. We're inviting people. We're over the winter. We're going to have a lot of fellowship dinners on Sunday. Some fellowship dinners, and it's going to be nice and they're free. You can invite people. It's great. But here in Luke chapter 14, if you look at verse 16, Jesus has given us a parable of a man who offered everybody a great supper, a big dinner. You think about how many people were starving during the days of Jesus. I'm sure a lot of people were starving. I'm sure people were used to being hungry. Day after day, used to being hungry, going to bed hungry. I believe a lot of people were unhappy with the amount of food that was available from time to time. Okay, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with me. Verse 16, and it says, Then said he unto him, listen, verse 16, a certain man made a great supper, and he invited many people. And he, I mean, it's not clear if it's a wedding. All it says is he had a big, big party planned. He had a lot of food for everybody. Verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, come, verse 17, come, for all things are now ready. Things are ready. All right, so he sent his servants out saying, now is supper time. Now is the time. Verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. How stupid a stupid excuse is that? You know, guy's inviting you to dinner and you said, well, I bought some property. I got to go look at it. No, you don't. You go look at it tomorrow. You know, sometimes our excuses aren't that smart. Amen. Sometimes our excuses, say it nice up there. I'm not going to even say it. No, sometimes our excuses are really dumb. This was like the dumbest excuse ever. Somebody's inviting you over to eat, big supper, you're going to eat good tonight. And what? No, I'm not going. Look at verse 19. To another, he said, this man was invited. Another man was invited. Verse 19. He said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Can I tell you how stupid that is, too? You just bought 5 oxen. You're going to hook them up to a plow at dinner time and go out and plow a field? Like, what are you, like the dumbest farmer ever? Right? But again, I'm just showing the illustrations of what? How poor excuses they're giving this man who is inviting them to the what? To the feast. You and I, we invite people to the feast. Amen. We're inviting them to the table with Jesus Christ. We're inviting them to what? To have eternal life and to receive his son. But they'll make excuses, but we still have to reach out. Verse 20, to another person, he said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. He could have brought his wife with him. Right? An excuse. Not even good excuses. It's an excuse. Anyway, verse 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord all these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there's still room. And he said in verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were invited shall taste my supper. Ooh, that's rough, isn't it? Sure. They missed out. But you know what? Thank God we didn't miss out. So, Pastor, it's too late for the backsliders? No, those are the people you need to invite. It's too late for the guys who rejected Jesus when I told them before? No, just go tell them again. Why? They need to know. Amen. They need to know. We know so much. Share what you know. And sometimes if people have a question you can't answer, say, you know what? I don't know the answer, but I'll find out for you. And then I'll come back and tell you. Because I don't know everything, but I'll be happy to help you find your way to God. Amen? Because there's so many people out there that really think they're so far from God they can't return, and that's not true. There's a lot of people out there that one time were on fire for God. Now the fire's put out. Why? They've been distracted by so many things, and all these distractions got them off course, and now they find themselves miles and miles away from the goal, that place that God really wanted them to be. Amen? No more excuses, right, everybody? Pastor, you're sneaky how you fit this in. Like, you know, like hurt my feelings because I'm not doing what I should be doing. But then you encourage me at the end. That's my job. That's my job, to pick you up. Knock me down? No, my job is to pick you up. I'm not here to knock you down. But the truth is we all do this. We all procrastinate, and we need to stop doing it, praise God. Why? Because now is harvest time. Well, I'll wait till Christmas time. No, don't wait until Christmas time now. Now is harvest time. And again, like I said, three or four times, we have this ministry of reconciliation. And it's what? It's our job. It's our ministry. It's our ministry to help people find their way to God because they really can't go. They don't know how to get there. That's why what? Our feet are beautiful because we share the good news with people. Amen. Amen. A good friend of mine died over the summer. I did his funeral. I got up there at the funeral parlor, read all the scriptures about going to heaven and how my friend who passed, I got to lead him to the Lord before he passed away. And I told everybody, I said, with great boldness, I can tell you this man's in heaven right now. And I read a lot of scriptures like I do at every funeral and made them all say the sinner's prayer. And I do that all the time too. But one of his cousins wanted to get up and did get up and say, listen, I want everybody to know I agreed with Pastor John. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't really care if you agree with me or not, because there's probably some people in the room who probably disagreed with what I had to say. Because they have their own idea how to get to heaven that has nothing to do with the Bible. But this young lady got up and said, I agree with everything he said, and I know my cousin's in heaven now, and it's great, and that was nice. But it really hit me again. The point is simply this. I people might disagree with you, but there's one truth. We know what the truth is. There's one way to the Father, it's through Jesus Christ, because he said it, not me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's in John 14, if you want to go home, look it up. You could tell people there's one way to the Father, it's through Jesus Christ, because there is one way. Why are you saying that? Because maybe some of you don't know, there's one way to the Father, it's Jesus Christ. Religion, there's a lot of different religions, but there's one way to get to Jesus. One way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I've read the Bible. There's no other way. So we're the only ones going to heaven? It's for us. It's for us. And this message is for us to share. The gates are open all the time. People are welcome anytime. Amen. You know, it'd be weird, really weird, a little side note. You know, it'd be really weird if Hitler made it to heaven. Pastor, there's no way. There's no way Hitler's up in heaven now. I don't think he is either, by the way. I don't really think he is. But he could be. That would be weird, right? The man who killed so many people, such an evil man. You say the name, it's, you know, synonymous with evil and hatred and everything. But at the end of his life, you're going to say, God, forgive me. Jesus come into my life. I don't think he did. But if he did, what would happen? He would be saved. It's not fair. Yeah, but you and I getting saved isn't fair either because we didn't deserve it either. Amen. Anyway, we have a ministry of reconciliation. Let's build up. Let's connect with each other. Let's protect. Let's enjoy being a child of God. And let's reach out to people because they need to know. Sometimes we feel bored and stagnant because we are stagnant. We haven't done anything to what? Let those rivers of living water flow through us. And what happens? We get sad. We get in a rut. And he wants us to get out of the rut. We're supposed to let our light shine. Amen. Over the summer, I went to a pastor's conference, and one of the speakers was a pastor in Texas who has a huge, huge church. And I was so surprised when I heard him say how much outreach they do, how much evangelism they do. I'm like, he's got 15,000 people in his church, and he's constantly reaching out to other people. You know what we need to do? We need to constantly reach out to other people and bring them in. Amen, Pastor. That was a good point. You know, we need really, we need to get the fire back, to get that excitement back, to get that joy back. And when you're doing God's work, you get your joy. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. When you're doing God's work, well, that's your job. You're the preacher, man. All right, you're right. You're right. You bring them here. Like I said, you bring them. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You bring them, they come. The Holy Spirit does the rest. Well, maybe God doesn't want to save my family. Well, I read the Bible, and it tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his son so that everybody could be saved. Whoever calls on his name could be saved. Whosoever, right? Whosoever. That's a good word. Whosoever. Let's not be lazy. Let's stop making excuses. And let's realize, God bless you, let's realize that when you leave here, sometimes you're surrounded by people that are what? Far away from God. Far away from God. But the good news, if they draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to them. The choice is them to take that step towards him. And God has given us this ministry. It's not for somebody else, it's for us. He's given us this ministry to reach people. And no more excuses. I don't like a lot of people, Pastor. Well, today, give your heart to Jesus. He'll fill you with the love and compassion. And what? You'll have a great love for me. Then you'll start reaching out to them. but I'm afraid that they won't like me. Chances are they don't like you anyway. Right? They're probably not that crazy about you anyway. So let's overcome ourselves and realize that God wants us to, read verse 6 with me. He wants us to reach out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting out of my hands." Paul is writing to Timothy. "For God has not given you and I the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Don't be ashamed of the word. Be ashamed. Well, people think I'm the religious fanatic, Pastor, if I start telling them God loves you, Jesus loves you. The truth is, it's not your problem if they think of you in a weird way. I mean, I play a lot of softball, a lot of different guys. They all know I'm a pastor. And a lot of them think I'm weird. So I have to beat them up from time to time. No, I don't beat anybody up. But I know they think I'm weird, and it doesn't matter. I don't care what they think of me. My job is what? Is to share the word with them and to live a Christ-filled life in front of them and let them see the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, "For God's not given us spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner," right? "Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel," which people might not like you. That's the affliction. "Be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God who saved us and called us with this holy calling, not according to our works, but according to," listen, "to his own purposes." He called you according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, he had you on his mind. He knew you'd be here today. He knew he wanted to encourage you with this message today. So what should you do? Share the message, because the message never changed. Amen. The message never changed. The word of God is still the same. His wisdom is applicable today just like it was 2,000 years ago. His word is still working in a real way in your life and in my life. And what? And it's going to keep working. Amen. 2,000 years from now, it'll be the same wisdom that people need. It'll be the help that they need. He said again in verse 8, "Who saved us?" He saved us. And what? "And he called us into a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." When you talk to people and they say, "Well, you know, God only wants to save a little bit of people, a few people," they don't know, or that's what their denomination teaches. And there's a few denominations that teach that, that God only wants to save a few, and in his grace, he saves a few. Which is, to me, really stupid, because they never read John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world. He loves everybody. So why did they go out and have to preach the word? Because people had to hear the message and receive it and give their hearts to Jesus on their own free will. And then they became part of the family, like us. Nobody forced you to become a Christian. Nobody twisted your arm to give your life to Jesus. You did it on your own. Verse 13 goes on to say, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Give them the word of God. All right, what do I say? You say, "Jesus loved you." That's what I got to say to people. That's what you have to say. That's where it starts. And then what? And tell them, you know, Jesus died just for you. He died for you on the cross. Because when I got saved in 1980, that's what hit me like a ton of bricks. He died just for me. Now, I knew that my whole life. But the summer day in 1980, it became like this tremendous light shining in my face. Hey, stupid, he died for you. You think that was the Holy Spirit? No, that was me talking to me. Like, hey, he died for you. Even though I knew that in my head, it became something real in my heart. Even though I knew that for my whole life, I knew Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but that day it became real. Why? Because he shined his light into my life and I received it. And all he wants us to do is to shine that light into people's lives and tell them. Tell them in the nicest way possible. You know why? You really need Jesus in your life. You're so far away from him. You really need him. You need to call on his name and he'll help you. You need to call out to him and let him put your life back together again. You need to resist what? You need to stop resisting the Holy Spirit and you need to start reaching out. That's what you need to tell people. You need to come with me on Sunday and hear the word of God. You need to come Amen. And what's going to happen? It's going to bring them back. It's going to bring them closer. And then the Holy Spirit's going to take the blinders off their eyes. And then what? They're going to be great. Their life will be brand new. Amen. Well, I brought them here. They didn't like it. Bring them again. Bring them again. Why? I tell you, the first time I really had somebody preach to me was 1971. I was a freshman in college, and it took 8 years, 9 years later for me to get, oh, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is the way. Walk in it. Amen. I wrote this down. I was taking notes at a conference recently, and the pastor speaking said these words, and if you want to write them down, maybe it'll help you. Maybe it'll help somebody you know. Listen, this is what he said. I am not going to be the reason I don't have a future. I am not going to be, in other words, I'm not going to be the cause that I don't have a better future. I am not going to be, it's not going to be me that's going to prevent me from having a better future. Everybody understand that? That's like a deep thing. It's not really supposed to be that deep. Go with me to Isaiah 54. And I'll repeat it a couple more times if you want to write it down. It's, I am not going to be the reason I don't have a future or a better future. I am not, if you do absolutely nothing from now until you see Jesus, you probably won't have such a great future. But if you do something for the kingdom of God, believe me, he gives you rewards. Amen. If you do what he says to do, your life will turn around and it will be continuously blessed, continuously great. Isaiah 54. Don't be the reason. The parable, I didn't read the parable that we started off with in Matthew 25, where the man who had five talents made five, two made two. What did the king say to him? Well done, good and faithful servant. To the one that had five made five, the one that had two made two, he said, well done, now good. You want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant? You got to do something. So, Pastor, you're looking forward to that day when you see Jesus? I'm happy every day I'm still here, but I'm not afraid of going from here to there. But I do want him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I mean, I want him to say it to you too. Well, I didn't know I had to do stuff. Well, you got to do, you know, some things, but you don't do these things to get saved. Because you are saved, you do these things. You can't show the love of God to somebody? I can't. I hate everybody. Well, again, give your heart to Jesus. That hate will go away. You won't be filled with hate. You'll be filled with the love of God. The love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Pastor, but I'm in sin every day. Well, listen. You shouldn't be. You should be walking away from sin every day. Amen. You should be walking away. Putting these notes together, the verse 2, Isaiah 54, verse 2. This is what the Lord showed me, that if we all did this work, the church, of course, would grow. If we did even a little bit more than what we're doing now, the church would grow. Amen. And if you're part of that, what? If you're part of the growth of the church, that's great. You know, we all share in the same accomplishments. If there's a reward, you share in the reward. Isaiah 54, verse 2. You're all reading it already? Good. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. What does that mean? Get ready for growth. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For the Lord is your maker, he is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. These are the people these are the people we're going to reach, and they're going to be part of who? Whose family? The family of God. Amen. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be ashamed. He forgave us of our youth. Amen. And he doesn't remember what? Our slip-ups and our falls. Amen. Instead, he gives you and I a better future, and he gives us an assignment, and he gives us a ministry to reach people. Amen. Let's keep reading here. Let's read verse 6. It says, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit, a wife of youth, when thou hast refused, says the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for that moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord the Redeemer. He's trying to show us his mercy and his kindness because of his great love for us. Verse 10, the mountains shall depart, the hills will be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on thee. Amen. He's not going to remove his mercy from us. Verse 11, and thou, afflicted, tossed with a tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay the stones with fair colors, and I will lay a foundation with sapphires. What does that mean? He's putting us on a new foundation. Amen. He's putting us on a new foundation, and the people that you lead to Jesus, he's going to put them on a strong foundation too. Amen. Back to the main point, a lot of things distract us, a lot of things that we think are unimportant are very important. And what? We don't want to allow these things to get us off course anymore. Amen. Why? Because God's got a call for us. So that's it. I'm going to quit my job, tell everybody off at work, and just work for Jesus. No. Where you work is where you work for Jesus. Your job is part of your mission field, and that's the part. Those are the people that God wants you to reach for him. Amen. But they live far away. Well, then still, and you know, get them to church near their home. Look at verse 17. Let's read this also. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee will prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment against thee. Let me read from the beginning. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that will rise up against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Amen. King Saul, the first king of Israel, humble man, started off great, ended up bad. Why? Pride got in his way, and that pride distracted him, and he got way off course. So badly off course. When Samuel died, he wanted to hear from Samuel. He went to that witch and he said, summon up the spirit of Samuel. I need him to talk to me and tell me what to do. Because God wasn't even talking to him. But in the beginning, God spoke directly to Saul, King Saul. Things get bad. Sometimes we get way off course. But God always is right there to take us back. Amen. Amen. God is always right there to restore what's been taken from us. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. Let me finish up here. Next Sunday, we'll talk more about this. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Go all the way back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel, before King Saul ever was the first king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Eli was the judge. Samuel was a young boy. Pretty much everybody in Israel was so far away from God, so far. All right, anyway, they were fighting the Philistines. Somebody had the bright idea. Let's take the Ark of the Covenant, that golden box, the angels. The only good thing from the Indiana Jones movie is they really made that box, that Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, if you saw the movie, excellent, because that's pretty much what it was. I don't know if it was that shiny, but that's what it was. It was angels pointing their wings at each other on the top. The top of the box was the Ark of the Covenant's mercy seat, where they would sprinkle the blood once a year, right? But it was golden box, and had a lid on it, had hooks to receive the wooden handles, and it was a good depiction of what it looked like. Anyway, somebody had the bright idea, let's take it out on the battlefield so that because it's here, we'll win. But they brought the Ark of the Covenant out there, and the Philistines still overtook them. And they still lost the battle. And Eli's two sons, who are very, very wicked men, died on the battlefield. And let's pick it up here in chapter 4 and verse 18. Let's pick it up here. The Philistines took the Ark when Eli, who was a very old man at the time, when he heard what happened. Look at verse 18. And it came to pass when he made mention that the Ark of God was taken, a messenger came back from the battlefield and told everybody the Philistines killed most of the people in the battle. Hophni and Phinehas in verse 17 were dead. They took the Ark of the Covenant. When Eli heard, they had the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 18. And it came to pass when he made mention of the Ark of God that Eli fell off his seat backward by the side of the gate. And when he fell back, he broke his neck and he died. For he was an old man and very heavy. And he had judged Israel for 40 years. So when he heard the Ark of the Covenant was taken, he fainted, fell back, broke his neck, and he died. So his two sons died that day. He died. And listen, verse 19, and his daughter-in-law, one of his daughter-in-laws, Phinehas' wife, verse 19, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and her father-in-law, her husband, were dead, she bowed herself in travail from the pains that came upon her. And about the time of her death, she was going to die too. About the time of her death, the women stood by and said to her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." And she answered not, neither did she regard it. But in her last dying breath, she named its son, she named his baby boy Ichabod. Don't ever name your kids Ichabod. Saying, the word Ichabod in the Hebrew means the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, because her father-in-law and her husband was dead. You think you have a rough time? This lady had a terrible day that day. But she named the son, she named that baby Ichabod, and Ichabod means the glory of God has left. And some of you feel like you're Ichabod. Some of you think the glory of God has left you, and it hasn't. Some of you think it's too late, Pastor. There's nothing going on. There's no Holy Spirit movement in my life. Listen, calm down, because all of that's about to change. As you rise up and say, "Lord, I'm here. Anoint me with fresh oil," the glory of God is going to come back into your life in a way that you never imagined. The signs and wonders and miracles are going to accompany you because you have a boldness to go out there and share God's love with people. Amen. Amen. You say this, but I don't believe it. Well, that's called doubt and unbelief. Let's overcome the doubt and unbelief. And let's get back to this place in verse 21. We are not Ichabod. We are not Ichabod. The glory of God has not left us. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Peter did some stupid things, said some dumb things. Remember on the fire, he's warming his hands, and somebody said, "You're one of his disciples." He said, "No, I don't know the man." Three times. They start cursing. Everybody's like, "Yeah, you don't know Jesus with a mouth like that. Come on, man. Nobody that knows Jesus talks like that." And as soon as he said the third time, "I don't know him," Jesus walked out of the judgment hall. And Jesus looked right at him, because that day he said, "Today you're going to deny me three times." Maybe we denied him many times, but you know what? He still puts us back into ministry, just like he put Peter back into ministry. Amen. See, now if I had the building of my choice, I would have shook the floor. I would have had that button I pressed and the floor shakes, like a Disney ride. That would be the perfect church for me. Lightning, thunder. I press the lightning, thunder noise, lightning, shake the floor. Something to shake you up so you realize, like, you know what? Please, God. God got a call in my life. I have to obey it. But unfortunately, we don't have a building like that, and I don't have a lightning and thunder button to press. But I hope and I pray for all of you that we start getting the fire back, because it's time. It's harvest time for us. We don't want to keep letting things distract us from doing what God called us to do. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. The devil wants to distract you to keep your mouth closed. He wants to distract you to get you off course. He wants to distract you in any way so that he can stop you from fulfilling your high calling and stop you from reaching people that really need to hear this message. This week, you're going to run across backsliders. You need to bring them back into God. Amen. Bring them back. You're not Ichabod. Amen. You're not Ichabod. You're not Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory has departed. You're not Ichabod. The glory of God has not departed from you. Amen. There's a fresh anointing coming, and it's coming from the Holy Spirit. This power that we read about is going to be seen in your life. Let's stop letting anything that upsets you, which are distractions, by the way. Let's stop allowing anything that's getting us off course to dominate our life, and let's walk with Jesus like we never did before, and let's share his love because people need to know. Amen. Don't bury your talent. But use the gifts that God's given you. And don't be what? Don't be distracted. Don't get off course. Don't allow yourself to be lulled into some kind of false sense of security thinking, "I don't have to do any of these things because I'm retired." Listen, you're only retired from doing God's work when you're home with him. Amen. Last scripture. Everybody go with me real quickly to 1 Peter chapter 5. Quite quickly. What, are we on a time limit here? No, we're not on a time limit. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter. The message was for me today. The message is for you today. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. I Read verse 5. That's a good verse. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elders. Elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives his grace. He gives his gifts to humble people. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he'll exalt you in due time. And this all came about because it is verse 7. It says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your care. That word care, casting all your care. The word care in the Greek is the word distractions. Cast all your distractions on him because he cares for you. He's concerned about you. Amen. He's concerned. Pastor, what about my future? Cast all your cares, all your distractions on him because he cares for you. Verse 7 is the Amplified. It says, cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He cares about you. Verse 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil, and like a roaring lion, he's walking around seeking whom he can devour, whom resists steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all go through similar things, but thank God we're going to get through them and we're going to see victory. Amen. Cast all your distractions on him because he cares for you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Cast all your cares. Use wisdom. Use understanding. Let him help you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. You're not on your own. You're not on your own. I mean, you know, God told Moses, I'm going to bring you to the land of milk and honey. What did he do? He believed the 10 doubters that said, oh, we can't go. We're never going to get the victory. Let's not even try. He let those 10 voices of doubt and unbelief and fear stop these 2 million people from going in and possessing the land. And what happened? A whole new generation had to be risen up that rose up, and they went in and took the land. They went in. Amen. You know, why did I even say that? Because simply this, that there have been people before us that God gave them the same high calling, and they basically dropped the ball. They basically did not do what they were supposed to do and left it for another generation. We are that generation. Let's rise up and let's do what God's called us to do. And it's easy. And it's nice to see signs and wonders and miracles accompanying us, but it's going to be signs and wonders are going to accompany people that are doing the word, not just people that hear the word. Let this be a time of great harvest for us. And it's easy to stretch out your hand and pray for somebody. It's easy to share with them about God's love. It's easy. And it's already, God's already preparing their hearts for you to share their word, his word. So just share it and see the great result, because now is that time. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Lord, help us to get rid of all these distractions in our life. Lord, deliver us from the things that have been holding us back. Lord, help us to overcome our pride, our fear, whatever it might be. And Lord, help us to be pliable in your hands, maybe for the first time in many years. This is not a time for us to back away from your call in our life, but this is a time for us to step up, to rise up and be those lights in a dark world. This is that time. Lord, help us not to get wrapped up in anything but your work and fulfilling that high calling in our life. Lord, you're first in our lives. And we're going to follow you, and we're going to see your faithfulness. And Lord, one day when we are leaving this planet to be with you, we're going to hear you say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Lord, today, fill us up with that anointing, that strength. And Lord, again, help us not to get weary in well-doing, because there's a harvest time, and we believe that harvest time is now. Lord, again, anoint us with new oil. And again, we give you thanks for this and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we finish up, if you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, call on him. Call on his name. It's really simple. It's the simplest thing to do. Just ask. We'll say the prayer together. We'll say it with you. Everybody say Jesus. Just repeat after me. Say, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Say, I believe. You died for my sins. And I believe you're alive from the dead. I say, Lord, live in me. and work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.